You know, they say every good preacher has a really good wife. I was sitting there, and Paul, you were finishing up your second song. I guess Jeannie has sat next to me long enough to know when I'm gearing up, because I was getting ready to go when you finished singing, and she pointed at the schedule and went, "It ain't you yet." I guess me and Kurt would have had to thumb wrestle for who got to go or something when I got up here. So I am thankful to her for keeping me in place when I don't need to be getting up. Open your Bibles to 1 John. 1 John. I have a hard time deciding whether 1 John or John are my favorite books. They're so close to each other, and they are basically making the same points. But here in the first chapter, we can see everything in regard to what we need from a salvation standpoint, what has been provided for our salvation. You know, John begins, you know, there's a lot of people in our world today that scoff about Jesus Christ. And there were people at the time in which John wrote this, at the end of the first century, that were scoffing that Jesus Christ actually came, that he actually came in the flesh, that they said that he may have just been an illusion, that it appeared that he was there, but he really wasn't, or that God entered into the man Jesus at the baptism of John, but left shortly before the crucifixion, because there's no way that God could die. And so they doubted the fact that Jesus Christ was really there. And this is late in the first century, so we're some 40, 50 years removed from the time of Christ. And John begins with verse 1 here. He says, "What was from the beginning, that we have heard, that we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at, touched with our hands concerning the word of life." There is John using that unique term that he uses for Jesus Christ. He talks about the word of life, the logos of life. And he uses that in John chapter 1 and verse 1 when he says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God," making the same point there that he makes here. But here, he's telling the church at Ephesus, he says, "I want you to understand something. I'm not telling you about someone I didn't know. I'm not telling you about someone I didn't see. I saw Jesus. Not only did I see him, but I heard him. I heard him speak." You know, if John was standing there with them outside of this text here, he might have said, "I heard the Sermon on the Mount. I was there at the cross and I heard him say, 'Behold your mother.' I heard him speak." John says, "Not only that, I touched him." Because see, now I've heard people that I thought was somebody. I turned around, it wasn't them. They just sounded like them. Somebody might say, "Oh, you might have thought you heard him." And I've even seen people. I walked up behind a woman at church one time. She was wearing everything my wife was wearing, had the same kind of hair. Put my arm around her, and it wasn't my wife. It's an embarrassing situation. So you can even maybe think you see something that you didn't see. John goes further. He says, "I've touched him. He was real. He was there." It was John there on the last night before Jesus died that leaned against the Lord's breast right there at the table. Not only that, John says, "Not only did I touch him, but I beheld him." That word literally means I studied him. Jesus is real. I looked at everything about him. I studied every little detail about him. I knew Jesus intimately. He was real. And that's really the first thing we need to understand, right? That Jesus is real. Not only is he real, but that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God that Peter confessed in Matthew chapter 16. Until you believe that Jesus Christ is real, you'll never come to him for salvation. That's the point John's making as he gears up here talking about Jesus. But he goes on. He says, "And the life was manifested, and we have seen and testified and proclaimed to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. What we have seen and heard we proclaim to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us, and indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." It says Jesus was real. He was manifested. He was made seen in this earth. He was put up on this earth. Romans chapter 5 says that God manifests his love in that he sent Jesus Christ to die for us. 1 John chapter 4 says the exact same thing. That Jesus Christ is the manifestation of God's love, but that he was manifested upon this earth that we might have, verse 2 says, that eternal life. He had that eternal life within him and gives it to us. And he says he was with the Father but was given to us. And then he goes on, he says, what we're doing, and when he talks about we, he's talking about the disciples here, the apostles, he says, we're telling you these things. Why? so that you can fellowship with us as well. And our fellowship is with God the Father and Jesus Christ. So if you want to have fellowship with us, you have to have fellowship with them. And that's why Jesus came. On the night before he died, Jesus said, "My little children," well, that's John. I'm about to quote the completely wrong verse. He said, "Let not your heart be troubled." Let's see if I can shift gears without actually looking. "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again that where I am, there you may be also." Jesus went to the cross to prepare the way for us to have eternal life, to have fellowship with him, to have fellowship with the Father, to one day be in that place where there are many houses, many rooms that he promised to the Father. But he says here, "We have told you these things. These things we write," verse 4, "so that our joy may be complete." The joy of knowing that you have come to salvation. I hope you find joy in the fact of people coming to Jesus Christ. But John wrote this in regard to why he wrote the book of John, the gospel account of John. In chapter 20, verse 30, he says, "Therefore many other signs Jesus also performed in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book." So he says, Jesus did a lot more than I told you. He did a lot. But he says, "But these have been written so that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, Son of God, and that believing in that, you can have eternal life." And so John says, "I have showed you Jesus. I have told you who he is. I have shown you him to be God by the things that he did, the signs, the miracles that he performed, and the teaching that he gave in conjunction with those miracles." But he goes on. Verses 5 and 6 are important. Because today in our world, anybody can be a Christian, right? And just use that name. A lot of people use the name, right? You see people who are living gross lives of immorality of whatever sort it may be, but "I'm a Christian." No, you're not. You can say that, but words are cheap. And the blood of Jesus Christ and the name, his name, comes at a much steeper price than just saying it. 5 and 6 says, "This is the message that we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness." John loves his contrast. He loves his bright, light, dark contrast. He does that all through his books. God is light. Listen to what he says in the next verse. "If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, and light being righteousness, darkness being sin, walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth." Let me tell you what, if you're not living your life for Jesus Christ, if you're not living your life according to the Word of God, you're not in him. You're not in fellowship with him. Because he is light, and in him is no darkness. Verse 7. "But if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship one with another." Right, there it is. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all our sins. See, if I'm endeavoring every day to do the very best that I can do, then God, Jesus knows that. And he forgives me of my sins. You know, if we jump to verse 10, we're going to come back and grab 8 and 9, but you notice that he says, "If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us." He gives us that condition that Paul talks about, right, to the Romans, that every one of us have sinned, every one of us comes short of the glory of God, every one of us needs the blood of verse 7, don't we? Every one of us needs a Savior that John says is real and has come to this earth to give us eternal life. Verse 8 says, "If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us." You know, people do things that the Bible clearly says are wrong. They say, "I don't think it's wrong." It doesn't matter what you think. It only matters what God says. Verse 9, verse we need to never forget as Christians. "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." I love chapter 1. It's got it all, doesn't it? It covers everything. Why Jesus Christ came to give us eternal life. What we need to do. We need the blood of Jesus Christ. We need the cleansing of our sins. And we need to understand that we have sin. And that we need a Savior. And we need to walk in him. Because anywhere else we walk places us outside of him. Places us in the darkness. in the lostness of sin. This evening, if you're not a child of God, Jesus Christ came to this earth. He is very real. And He lived a perfect life. And He died upon a cross for you. Shed that perfect blood. Was put into a grave and rose on the third day. Why? So that you could know that one day He will bring you forth from the grave into eternal life in heaven. You can have that if you obey the gospel tonight. If you're a child of God tonight, maybe you haven't been living as you should. Maybe you've been thinking you can walk in darkness and still be in Him. Listen to the words of John. God is light and in Him is no darkness. You cannot walk in darkness and walk in Him too. It doesn't work that way. And only in the light is where you have fellowship. If you haven't been walking in the light, begin tonight. Know that He will forgive you. Confess your sins. He's faithful and just to forgive you. If we can assist you, if we can pray with you, won't you let us as we stand, as we sing.